理课堂听 class.com
Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Welcome to Advance Your Window on the World. We have an important lesson for you today on the dangers of mercury in fish. Thank you for tuning in to Advance. This is an important lesson because we all like to eat fish and it's supposed to be good for us. So let's listen in today and find out about the dangers. This is Peng Menghui, Doris Brome, and we have a couple of panelists with us today as we discuss this two-day article. How are you, Bill?
I'm good, Doris. Glad to be here to talk about this subject.
And I'm Ethan, and I was actually quite amazed and actually shocked that tuna fish could hold such a dangerous chemical.
We always eat a lot of canned tuna. We make tuna fish sandwiches, tuna fish casseroles that we bake in the oven. It's one of the American staples, tuna fish. It's one of the things we use every day, isn't it?
One of my favorite dishes is actually to make a salad and put tuna fish on top. And I typically might do that two or three times a week. And after I read this, I was like, oh, boy.
Not so often. Mm-hmm. Well, and we even have tuna fish steaks and everything. It's a very popular fish, you know. So we're going to find out what mercury has to do with it. First, I'd like to know if you know anything about mercury. What is it, actually?
Well, mercury is a heavy silver-colored metal that is liquid at ordinary temperatures. I remember, Doris, being young and maybe back in school in chemistry class, our teacher would get a little vial of mercury and we would pour it out and in a way, it was at that age, it was kind of fun to even just play around with mm-hmm. mercury. It was this weird liquid, but it would kind of stay together. It was
like
really
little
strange.
Drops of it would
right.
go around. Right. Well, mm-hmm. and didn't they put mercury in our teeth sometimes for the fillings of our teeth?
I believe so.
Right.
Yes, mercury is used in the fillings for teeth. It was also used quite often in thermometers as the to tell the barometric pressure.
And I don't think it's so bad, just a little bit of mercury. But I think we're getting a bit too much these days. Is that right?
Well, yes, it's very true. Mercury is actually a very poisonous chemical, and so to get it absorbed into your skin is quite dangerous. In its natural form, it's not as bad as we'll learn about in the methyl mercury today, but it is poisonous, so it is something we need to be careful of.
Well, I'm glad that Ethan has done a lot of research, and he did a lot of research for this article, and I think you learned a lot about it, didn't you?
I did, and I found it quite interesting to learn about the different methods they're trying to stop this as well.
Okay, so open your magazine now to page 22, and we'll find out about the mercury mess. And a mess is just something very unorganized and confusion. If we spill something on the floor, it messes up everything. Or if your kitchen is dirty, we say it's a mess.
We might say that also if you have more than one thing go wrong. For instance, maybe a business is not operating properly. And you might say, oh, boy, we got quite a mess here.
And sometimes you say you're in a mess when something mm-hmm. happens. So the mercury mess is something that we really need to pay attention to. This is new news from U.S. News and World Report. So what are the dangers of mercury in fish? And can the mercury mess be cleaned up? Those are two very important questions, aren't they?
It's very complicated, Doris. Mercury comes from many different sources around the world. We'll see in this article, the main source is coal-fired plants, but it can also come from other places.
Well, and the idea of the dangers of it, as Ethan just said, that it is poisonous to us. Isn't that right?
Yes, it is. And the concern is that in small doses, it wouldn't be very lethal, but these larger fish have collected mercury from eating smaller fish, and it is quite concentrated in these larger fish, so it has become very dangerous.
So it is dangerous. That answers the first question. A lot of dangers. The second one is, can the mercury mess be cleaned up? And that's the thing we're going to deal with the next couple of days. So let's look at page 22, and let's read the first couple of paragraphs.
The mercury mess. What are the dangers of mercury in fish? Can the mercury mess be cleaned up? Are these fish safe to eat? It's a question being asked by customers who buy fish directly from fishing boats and local food store patrons alike. Because the reality is that these days, your favorite fish may come with a side of toxic mercury. Recently, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, and the Food and Drug Administration, FDA, warned that consumers at high risk should cut back on eating canned tuna, eating no more than 1 6-ounce can of albacore per week. Swordfish, shark, and several other fish are also off-limits for young children and women who are pregnant, nursing, or planning to conceive. Why? High mercury levels can cause learning problems or retardation in children and neurological damage in developing fetuses.
Already it sounds very serious, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It sounds like a very serious problem. And like Ethan said, in a small dose, it's not so bad. But as we see, regular, steady doses is what's really going to affect your body.
Well, that first question, what are the dangers of mercury in fish, is a little bit answered down here in line 16 when it says why. And what does it say, why it is dangerous? Read that.
It says, high mercury levels can cause learning problems or retardation in children and neurological damage in developing fetuses.
Now, you often wonder when a child is born why they have some of these problems, that they are a little bit retarded, they're not as bright. Sometimes the parents are very good, they have good IQs, they're, you know, very good genes and everything, and yet these kids have this. Perhaps there's been some kind of contamination involved.
Well, and they are finding that this is one of the causes of this problem. The EPA and the FDA, as we talk about in lines 9 and 10, have released statements saying that ladies who are pregnant should not eat tuna fish or canned tuna or swordfish because it will cause greater damage to their babies.
It's interesting because warnings such as not consuming alcohol or smoking cigarettes during pregnancy, but this is rather surprising that all of a
don't
sudden,
eat fish.
Don't eat tuna.
Or yeah. Even says swordfish, shark, and other fish
mm-hmm.
are also off limits for younger children and women who are pregnant. Now, how many times do people eat these fish things, especially out here in Asia? They eat a lot of swordfish and shark and everything else, don't they?
Quite frequently. And we're not talking just about maybe a can of tuna, the 6-ounce can, but I think of so many restaurants I go to offer grilled tuna or grilled shark. It's everywhere.
Right. So we're going to have to find out about how safe it is. And it isn't that we want to really scare everybody, but on the other hand, we might as well find out the facts and then decide for yourself, because it's your body or the body of your unborn child you have to think about. See, so it's a question that customers who buy this from the fishing boats and they buy them from the stores and they say, is it safe? Now, if you're selling the fish, you'll probably say, oh, yeah, don't worry about it. But I don't think I'd take their word for it. I'd like to find out a little more about it, wouldn't you, Ethan?
I think it was very important to learn about what we are going to be eating.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was interesting too, Doris. I pictured myself at a fish market, which I often will do, and asking the person selling the fish, is this safe? Well, certainly. What's their answer going to be?
Of course
it's safe. Bill,
yeah,
don't worry about it.
I caught it. Yeah, it's fine. Well, the reality is, though, that your favorite fish may come with a little poison. So when you're eating your fish, you might have a little bit, a side of toxic mercury, a side of just means a little additional, something extra.
We might say a side of fries when we're ordering food at a restaurant. All that means is you want an extra plate of French fries to come with your meal.
But you don't say I'll have some fish with a side of poison.
Now, this is a little bit unexpected side dish.
That's right. So the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, which is called the EPA, and the FDA, which tells us the ones that take care to see that our food is safe, they have warned people. Now, once there's a warning, are we supposed to listen to it?
Well, it's almost like you're given a choice. They are saying, look, we think this is not safe, but it's not a mandate saying don't eat it, but they're just advising.
And I would think that they have good reasons for this because high mercury levels can make it difficult for people to learn, and we're going to find out it might even affect our memories and our minds. So we need all the help we can get with our minds. I don't want to affect mine, do you?
Oh, definitely not.
I want to help but not make it worse. Okay. So this is what we're going to talk about. And you say, how can that be possible? We've always eaten fish. But do you think it's the same now as it was 50 years ago?
I don't think it's anywhere near the same when you consider how much industry we have in the world today and also the chemicals that we've put out in the atmosphere and into the waters. Certainly, we're going to change our whole environment, and that's going to affect the food we eat.
And more people have become industrialized and into factories and chemicals where they used to be farmers, and it does affect the whole world.
I think of my great-grandpa who used to work in a coal mine, and it didn't used to be a problem, but they brought in new machinery, and that new machinery created more coal dust, and so he actually had lung problems.
And so they've done some things that have made it really worse for people in some ways. And another thing is that a lot of this pollution that used to go around the world was caught in the trees, because trees take care of that and clean the air. But we've cut down so many trees that put up great big buildings, and they don't do anything to help the air. So now there's probably thousands of molecules more of pollution than there ever was 50 years ago.
You were talking about that earlier, Doris, during one of our breaks, of how we've got this increased consumption and production and industry, and then what's happened is we've had a reduction in some of the forests around the world, such as the Amazon rainforest, and in an earlier article we talked about many of the trees being cut down in parts of Asia.
Malaysia, Borneo, all those places. Even in Canada, they're worried about too many trees being cut down.
Right. So it's a two-edged sword in that we've got heavy increased industry, and then we've got a natural cleaning agent that's being reduced.
So we're going to have to find out a little bit more about this and see what the facts are. These are not just ideas. There's some facts here. So where does it come from?
Where does it come from? Over 1,000 coal-burning power plants are the main uncontrolled source of mercury pollution in the United States. As coal burns, it releases traces of mercury that waft out of smokestacks. Much of the mercury stays airborne for up to 2 years and spreads around the globe. But some is emitted as a water-soluble compound formed when mercury reacts with chlorine, an element often found in coal from the eastern United States. How does mercury get into fish? Precipitation quickly washes this form of mercury into lakes, rivers, and oceans, where microorganisms take it up and convert it into toxic methylmercury. The mercury then passes up the food chain into fish, reaching the highest levels in large predatory species like swordfish and tuna, and on into people.
I didn't realize that there were over 1,000 coal-burning power plants left in America.
I didn't realize that either. And when I saw that line, it made me think of nuclear plants. And one of the issues that was facing the United States in the 70s and 80s was, how many nuclear plants do we build? And, of course, the arguments against building nuclear plants were because of accidents and what happened at Three Mile Island in Chernobyl. And so thus we still have 1,000 coal-burning plants, which create their own problems.
Right. You don't know what to do for the energy, because whatever you do, it has bad side effects, doesn't it?
It does. I think, well, in Vancouver, they have a lot of dams to get hydropower. But the downside to that is you have to put a dam on your river, and then you lose on fishing industries, and you change the way the river is going to flow.
There's a lot of problems involved, and they've had the same problems in China with the Yangtze River and the dams and the projects. And whatever you do, you lose something to gain something, don't you?
I think of the Three Gorges Dam, and while it's a need to create the energy, many people have said, well, look at this landscape and scenery that you're affecting, and you're displacing hundreds of thousands of people. So it's almost like it's not – you win some, but you lose some too.
Well, and if you burn diesel fuel or gasoline, it's pollution. Coal, it's pollution. Whatever you do is pollution. So we need all of these sources today. So no wonder some people are pushing for more nuclear power, because that at least puts out a lot more power than some of these coal-burning things. So you can see there's two sides to everything.
There's the issue as far as nuclear power has been safety. I think there's been some advancements made. And what we're seeing from this article is, oh, wow, this environment is really being affected by these coal firing plants.
Well, it says here in line 24, as the coal burns, it releases little bits of mercury, traces, just shell de buffin, a little bit. Then they kind of blow out, they waft out, just sort of blow very lightly like feathers waft in the wind. And they go out these smokestacks, and you would think, you know, in about 10 minutes or so, it would dissolve in the air. Is that what happens?
No, it can actually float around for up to 2 years in the atmosphere, Doris.
And spreads around the globe. Now, that is the part that's scary.
It is. And so the problem is that this natural coal has this added component that when they burn it, it's going into the coal smoke, and then it's getting out into the air, and then it's spreading out, and then it's going to settle down into the water and cause problems with the fish.
Now, we can't really see very much of that. You might see a little bit as it goes out, but it gets in the air, and we don't see it. And we look at the air. It looks pretty clean to me.
Well, what I thought of when I read this, too, is the term acid rain that became popular
right.
in the 70s and 80s. And that's actually what happens is mm-hmm. you've got this micro dust floating in the atmosphere, and then when there's precipitation, it actually gathers this micro dust and brings it to the earth. And that's what we call acid rain.
Now, I found it interesting in my research that mercury, when it is in the air pollution, it is not lethal enough. It is not concentrated enough to be harmful to us. So for us to be breathing it is not going to be a problem.
Well, but that's good to know, because we have to keep breathing.
You
can't stop breathing, right?
But once it gets into the water and then the fish start eating and it moves up the food chain, as we'll talk later, that's when the real problems begin to happen.
Okay, so when it is sent out or emitted means to go out as something that goes into the water, water-soluble compound that's formed when it reacts with chlorine. Now, we put chlorine in the water to purify it sometimes, and you put those two things together, you find a lot of that in the eastern United States, and that's bad, isn't it?
Yes, because then what it does is it actually gets into the lakes and rivers and the oceans, and then it starts to affect all the living organisms in those bodies of water.
And these little microorganisms, it's something you really can't see, right?
Yes, a microorganism is something that is smaller than the human eye. Micro means extremely small, and then organism means living being. So it is a very, very small living.
But then it gets into these plants and things, and then they convert it into this methyl mercury. And that's what's so bad, isn't it?
Yes, it is. This water-soluble mercury that we talked about just a little earlier, it's dissolved into the water, and then when it joins with these microorganisms, it's converted into the toxic methylmercury that can be absorbed by fish and then by us if we eat it.
And we talk about the food chain. It passes up the food chain. It's just following something from when it's a little, how it goes from one animal or one microorganism to another, into the fish, the smaller fish and the large fish. That's what we call the food chain, isn't it?
Right. It starts, for instance, in the algae and the plants that are in the water, and then which are eaten by the very smallest fish. And then, of course, as we see in our chart that's on page 23, we have progressive sizes of fish. The bigger they get, they're predatory fish, and they eat the smaller fish. And so you've got this methylmercury that starts out in this algae and ends up in the largest fish.
Now, what do we mean by predatory?
Predatory is when, simply put, the big fish eating the smaller fish.
Right. And a predator is something that goes after another animal or another, like predatory animals would be like the fox are out looking for the chickens and so forth. These animals, they go out and prey on or go after other animals to get them for food, don't they?
Yes. So a good example of that would be a lion. A lion is one of the most famous predators because it eats so many other animals.
Right. And so we find then that even in these predatory species like swordfish and tuna, it passes from them. And then, of course, we eat this fish. And we put a lot of good sauce and it tastes very good. And that's good. But we don't realize that we're putting mercury in our bodies.
Yes. And I looked up, it is safe to swim in the water because it is in the small algae and it's not. We can't absorb enough. And so for us even to eat the small fish, it's okay. But because these large predatory fish are eating so many of the smaller fish, it is where it is that concentrated gathering of all that mercury from the smaller fish that is going to cause the problem.
What I found interesting about this is that how what we consume then as far as eating then can become part of our body and change it. I think of obviously the mercury, but I think of other things, for instance, in Britain and other countries, there was mad cow disease.
Yes.
In the last couple of years. And that came about from the cows eating, I think,
the brains of other animals.
Yeah,
right.
Food that was not good. And then eventually the meat was served to the humans who then developed the mental disease, mad cow disease. And
right.
So it's really kind of scary.
And people pay a lot of attention to that. In fact, they won't have American beef because it was one case or something. But still, they'll go around putting all this mercury in their minds and their brains. They don't realize it. And once this is well known, then people are going to say, I'm going to be careful. Because there's so many babies born now with all these problems. You wonder why people can't have a healthy baby. But I think it's not anything to do with the parents so much as with all the pollution around about us. I think it affects children. Don't you think so?
I definitely do. And I think it's important that we are careful how we feed the children because they are going to be the future. And so if we keep feeding them stuff that's going to damage their mental capacities, then the future is going to look somewhat glum.
Well, and then when you talk about pregnant mothers, because they are the ones that are giving the child that first start in life when it's still within the mother. And if they're putting poison in them, no wonder the kids are born a little bit mentally retarded. So they have to cut back. And if I were a pregnant mother and read this, I not only cut back, I think I'd just stop eating it.
Well, we use the term off limits, and that means you're not allowed to have any of it is off limits. But in my research, I found that there is some good news. You can eat shrimp and salmon and several other types of seafood. Those are safe. It's just these several of these larger predatory animals.
Those are safe, except they give you cholesterol, so you've got to watch that too.
So that is because they are the predatory animals, but the ones that are non-predatory are less susceptible to this mercury poisoning.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Well, we're going to find out, you know, what the dangers are. We're going to talk about whether it can be cleaned up. But one thing is that we need to be informed. And that's what we try to do in our advanced class, bring you news that you might not have noticed. Now, this is from the U.S. News and World Report, which does some very good reporting on current issues. And once we have helped you learn how to find these things, you can read these articles yourself. You can read them on the web. You can read daily newspapers on the web. And we hope that this year you've enjoyed watching our comments as you do on our website. And keep up to date on everything because it'll make your life be richer, healthier, and better for your family.
I find articles like this, Doris, very helpful because I'd like to check out science and technology. Something like this helps me very much because I love seafood. I love not just tuna out of a can on a salad, but also love going to restaurants and ordering grilled tuna or mahi-mahi or shark and things like that.
All you sound like you're an Asian because that's what, you know, I mean, Asians like fish. In fact, most people think they need to have one fish at least every day, don't they? I mean, they eat fish every day, right?
Oh, it is one of my favorite dishes too, and I grew up in Asia here, and so I have become accustomed to more Asian tastes and that. I also found that reading the Advanced magazine and learning this, that I've started to tell my family and friends that, hey, maybe we need to watch out for this.
And I think that's one thing that when you learn something yourself, you want to share it with your friends. You want to talk about it. And sometimes you don't know what to talk about in English. Well, this is a good subject. Just say to somebody today, have you heard about this new problem with mercury in the fish? And what might they answer you?
No, I haven't heard anything about it.
Oh, so whatever. They're always saying a problem with something. Don't worry about it. But I like to investigate when I hear things and find out what the truth is. And I think, Ethan, you've done a lot of investigation on the subject.
Well, I didn't. I really enjoyed learning about the different problems that there are and solutions that we may talk about more yet tomorrow on how we can solve this problem. Also, I just want to add that if you're interested in talking about these issues, maybe you can join our English Corner. We discuss all of the articles, and that's a gathering of students who can talk about the articles and whatever they want to talk about.
How can they join the English Corner?
If you go to our website, the www.studioclassroom.com, there is a link directly to the English Corner, and you can choose the advanced magazine portion and go in and start your discussion.
Okay. Well, one thing, you know, that I read as we were studying up for this was that this mercury exposure in adults can cause you to be tired. It causes fatigue. It causes mood changes, problems with your memory and concentration, and nerve damage. So that's for adults we're talking about. Now, we certainly don't need to have more problems with our memory as we get older. And probably instead of eating more fish, we should eat less.
Now, the two things you mentioned there, Doris, make me think about how it might affect a person's ability of getting Alzheimer's, or when you talk about nerve damage, of Parkinson's disease. So at my age, I need to be aware of that right now because I can reduce that.
Right. Well, anyway, we're not trying to scare everybody, but we do want to look into this, how mercury gets into fish, where does it come from, and tomorrow we're going to talk about how can we solve the problem? Do you think that'll be an important lesson?
Oh, I do, because I think there is hope in the future that we can return to eating tuna on a regular basis.
Well, I certainly hope so. Come back tomorrow. We'll discuss it together. Thanks for being with us today. And perhaps just for today at noon, you could go without tuna fish. Okay. I'll see you tomorrow. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.